Blog Talk Radio. It is November. We are now definitely in the fall. We've turned back the clocks. This is May Pang speaking to you live. And Cynthia, I mean, how is the weather down there?
Oh, it's a rainy, miserable day in Nashville, but the weather's a little warmer. We had some really cool weather for unseasonably for here, but it's raining today. It's November 2nd. This freaking clock thing always plays with my head. Yeah.
It plays with mine too. I can't deal with it. And especially after last night, watching the game, and I was getting so stressed out in the top, you know, the eighth inning. I'm sitting there, you know, watching it. Mets were ahead, and I said, and I was saying to Suzanne, who's with me, you know, hanging out, and I said, oh, let him play. I said, no, normally at the eighth, you know, the eighth inning, if the pitcher thinks, the coach should take them out. They should take them out because it's their arm. They could use it for later. And it never fails. And the guy said, no, I want to go. Well, we lost by a landslide.
Yeah. That was unfortunate.
Yes. And I knew. I just looked at it.
And I like the Mets. I'm really a Red Sox fan, and I do like the Washington Nationals in the other league. But it was unfortunate that happened.
It was.
And it's over.
But you know what? I will say this. As much as, you know, we lost and everything, it was a real game. It wasn't like, oh, figures, this one's going to win. I mean, both teams haven't won in years. They were – it really was a good game all the way around. So
I think when it comes to the World Series, you want to see some games. You don't want to see a blowout. You don't want to. It's always better when that happens, and it did happen.
It was
exciting. Hey, kudos to both teams, and
yes,
the season's over. And football, which seems to be a year-round sport now, I can't. You know, I've never seen a football game in its entirety.
You mean
ever.
Go to
I pride
one
myself
or
on that. No.
Or what?
Either
no,
way,
on
TV or go to one. I pride myself on that. I am not a football girl. Not.
I'm not
refused
either,
to.
But I have been to one or two, and I was with John when we watched L.A. Rams, I believe it was, you know, when we were there with Howard Cosell back in the day. So I was in attendance. That doesn't mean I was watching the game, but I was in attendance to that. So, you know, there's a few things.
No.
Oh, my God.
Anyway, we have today, as you know, Cynthia loves the banter. And today we have a guest back with us he's been on our show a couple of times before. And there's no time like now to get his take on this election season, which is heating to a boil with a cast of characters that looks like something out of a Fellini movie on all three fronts, Republican, Democratic, and then the independent ones, which looks like the cast from America's Most Wanted. I'm not going to lie, okay? But anyway, anybody who's ever read anything about counterculturalism or activists back in the day, Paul Krassner, certainly, his name pops up in the middle of the chaos that was the 60s and the 70s, and it without a doubt, his funny bent on what is real and what is surreal is always entertaining. And we would like to welcome back to the show, he dares to come back, Paul Krassner. Paul, welcome back.
Well, thank you. You know, I just didn't care who won the series. I don't know why, but I've always been that way. It just never made a difference to me. And I played on a baseball team in high school, and I didn't even care if my own team won. But I had to pretend, you know, if we won the game, I would pretend that I was delighted about it, and if we lost the game, I would pretend that I felt bad about it.
Okay, that's a whole psychological show in itself, Paul, that we may have to do another day and get an expert on to talk about it. But, you know, I just read a dissertation, because they all are now, about all these candidates, on Bernie Sanders being the pragmatic, choice. And that was kind of a funny way to look at it to me, because everything he says to me is theoretical. It's all based on theory. It's all based on theory that you can make all these rich people give their money up, that you can make all these banks play fair ball and lower interest rates. And it just seems like all these candidates are building their platforms in hot air balloons. So I'm going to bow to you now, Paul, and I'm going to say to you, where do you think this is all going, and where do you think it's going to end up? I'm putting you on the spot.
Oh, you mean who's going to win the election?
Yeah, yeah.
It's like a year before it's going to happen. So much can happen in between.
This is true. But who do you see as a strong candidate right now? Who do you see in both parties?
It's just weird because. It's interesting that the top story in front page today in the Los Angeles Times, the headline is "Marijuana Vote May Be a Key in 2016. Public opinion is rapidly changing, but legalization remains a voting issue, a vexing issue rather, for most presidential hopefuls." Hillary Clinton is kind of on the fence about that, whereas Bernie Sanders, he's taken the compassionate thing, how families are destroyed because somebody got arrested for smoking a flower, as Lenny Bruce used to say, and it's very frustrating because everybody talks about they've got worried because maybe somebody will if the parents left one of their loaded lollipops around and their kid licked it, that's not the kid's fault. It's the parents' fault for having it available. And and I had written a letter to the LA Times, which they didn't print, and it was just one small paragraph. I was responding to a story that said 6,000 drug offenders to be released early from prisons, and so my one paragraph. Let me read it to you here exact thing. The article stated that last year the U.S. Sentencing Commission voted to cut drug sentences by an average of 2 years, potentially affecting as many as 46,000 out of 100,000 cases. And my comment was that, but that's only freeing nonviolent drug offenders from federal prisons. Freeing them from state prisons depends on state legislations and governors. Hey, Jerry Brown, how about serving as a role model for all the other states? So, states' rights. It used to be just for racists, but now it spreads to other areas.
I'm sure that's probably going to get you a wiretap on your phone, Paul, because you know how that goes. It's just, it just seems to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, but the court of popular opinion has its own jury, and that jury the jury pool seems to change on a daily basis. Listen, I'm on the fence about legalizing pot myself, and I'm going to tell you why, and that's just me personally. I'm a very high-strung person, and it annoys the shit out of me to deal with somebody who's so stoned out of their mind that they can't make a decision. I want to bitch slap them. That's just me personally. That's been my experience. Now, does that say I want to deny someone medical marijuana? Does that say I'm poo-pooing what marijuana oil can do in a medicinal? No, absolutely not. But I think it can be a slippery slope. I think that we don't know how it will play out at the other end. Do I think that somebody should be in prison for smoking pot? No. Do I think somebody who's dealing drugs should be in prison? Yeah, that's me. Will the candidates be able to tackle this? I don't think so, because I think it's the same spider web as abortion and gay marriage and all of that. They get tangled up in these cocoons when they don't realize there's got to be compromise. And I just don't think that there's any room for compromise for any of the parties right now. None. There's no compromise. Bernie Sanders keeps saying, oh, I don't want to talk bad about anybody. That's getting old to me now. It's getting old to me.
Well, but the thing is that, you know, it's 58% of Americans are for the legalization. It's you know, it's not a matter of whether, you know, that's the risk of freedom, is that somebody gets weird and silly and dopey on pot. But there's no reason for that to put behind bars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just is not fair. There's no compassion there. And especially because it's, you know, as long, my position is that as long as any government can arbitrarily decide which drugs are legal and which drugs are illegal, then anyone put in prison for a nonviolent drug offense is a political prisoner. And, you know, because nobody dies from marijuana. 1,200 people every day in this country alone die from cigarettes, you know, and that's legal. Look at all the terrible, you know, everything from car crashes to domestic violence is done usually by those who do alcohol, and that's legal. So it's really just arbitrary, and it's just a lack of compassion. People turn the other way, and they get very they don't see it from the point of view of the families who can be ruined by whether it's the parents or the offspring who get arrested for it and have to serve time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but
that's
the,
I mean,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I understand your point, but I also can see the side that says, all right, well, it isn't just about people being arrested. It's about people who can't hold down a job, who now turn to the state, as you said, and that's where the danger is, and said, well, I need to go to rehab now because I can't function. You know, and there are people like that. The same thing with alcohol, Paul. I'm making the same comparison. You know, we had prohibition in this country, and that we see how that worked out. I do think that, you know, there is an argument to be said about people being incarcerated, but then I can say to you, let's take that a step further. That seems to be one of Bernie Sanders', you know, hot points. He's constantly hitting the prison system in our country and how we have to educate people and how we have to pay for people to get a better education so they don't end up in prison. But the frank reality is a majority of the people that are in prison are in there because they don't want to live legally. They want to commit crimes. You know, they're not going to benefit from a better education, which is going to make them not commit crimes. I don't agree with that, you know, analogy. So it's like I think every single candidate right now, and let's not even talk about the, what is it, 17 Republican candidates that's like, you know, a
That's
cast
ridiculous.
From Rocky Horror Picture Show. You know, there's no solution right now. There's no solution. There isn't one. I just think it's chaos.
You know, the Republican 17 or however many of them are, they're including the ones who have debates at the kiddies table. My favorite one is Rick Santorum, who believes that life begins at foreplay rather than conception, and he's gone. his position against women's rights to abortion. But he's also against birth control, even though that would prevent the need for an abortion.
Right.
And then he claims that contraception is not okay, and it turns sex into simple pleasure. How about that? And he also has vowed to ban all pornography, even though watching porn would prevent the need for contraception. So, you know, I think that poor old Rick Santorum is afraid that if Roe versus Wade isn't overturned by the Supreme Court, there will then be an epidemic of recreational abortions.
Which is ridiculous. I mean, the Republican Party has become faith-based. There's no doubt about it. And listen, I'm a registered independent. I am not Democratic. I am not Republican. I can see fault on all sides because I tend to try to stay in the middle and try to understand, you know, people who are driven by faith. I don't condone it. Because then again, too, you are denying me when I'm not driven by faith. You know, on the other hand, too, I have the Democratic Party who all they want to do is make theoretical promises. It's not pragmatic. It's theoretical. It's not practical. It's built on theory. And as far as Hillary, listen, I would love to see a woman president. I'd love to see one. Hillary Clinton is not the candidate. It's not going to happen. The Clintons are done. They're done. She tried to be a Dickless Tracy and play a man's game, and that was her mistake. She should have played to the women of this country, and she didn't do it. They should have called me to write speeches for her, Paul, and I would have gotten that woman elected because she's not thinking like a female. She's trying to think like a man. That being said, I've never been in the position she's in. I've never been a woman trying to hold court in a man's castle, and that's really what Washington is. It's driven by men. You know, I don't know. What's your take on that?
Well, you know, I'm a feminist, and I would love to see a female president. Although, when I read about the history of Hillary Clinton, she was a lawyer, and she defended a rapist, a man who raped a 10-year-old girl. And Hillary, in the examination, in the trial of this 10-year-old, Hillary humiliated her so much and implied that she was lying, and that 10-year-old girl was traumatized. You know, so her compassion is for herself. And her husband Bill Clinton is like the a serial rapist just like Bill Cosby except without the quaaludes the irony is that he would not get gotten elected in the first place if he hadn't been charged with Jennifer Flowers and then the other Jones and that got him a lot of publicity and it gave him a high public profile he was like a celebrity then with a notorious background. So, a lot of people vote for the personality, and not about the issues. So.
Well, I still think, personally, I still like Clinton, and this is me liking them and the Kennedys. Because all this stuff about what Clinton has done and him going off with these women, that's been going on through all the years. I mean, with all these different presidents and everybody, including even candidates now, you know, I mean, so I take that to the side and can they run the country is basically what I'm looking at.
I think, May, that to me, his biggest problem was that all he had to do was say, I had an extramarital affair.
Right.
My marriage was in trouble. My wife and I are working on it. It didn't stay, it didn't keep me from
How
doing
many,
my job like
time,
a lot of you.
This is the thing, though. How many people
I know,
at that
but
time
see,
would
he
have
wasted
that?
The, he wasted the taxpayers' money by carrying on this charade that turned into a ridiculous oral sex. What is sex? That's where I lost all respect.
Yeah.
It's like, come on.
But
now.
I'm just saying that
you know.
We still have that going on now with certain other things that are going on. It's like, Jesus, haven't we learned from
absolutely.
This?
Absolutely.
Now we still. We're still going on.
Absolutely. But Paul, do you think that it even matters to the American people anymore what the basis is for what we need to make ourselves the strong country that we know we can be? I don't think it matters anymore. I think people are disinterested. They're just sitting back and watching the show.
Oh, yeah, but, well, it has been entertaining. You know, the Republican debates, they're not, you know, most of them, they know in their hearts they'll never become elected as a president. But they do also know that just being there and being watched as entertainment, that they'll get a book, publishers will want them to write books. Right-wing groups will want them to speak for a lot of money, as you know. So it just reeks with hypocrisy. I mean, and it can change the world. You know, in my lifetime, the two worst presidents were George Bush Jr. and Ronald Reagan. And because, you know, it doesn't matter if they have faith or not. The First Amendment talks about freedom of religion, but separation of church and state. And so I remember when in 1980, I was the head writer for an HB show about the campaign, and it was called The Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the White House. And the presidential candidates that year were Ronald Reagan, Jimmy Carter, and John Anderson, and all three had publicly declared themselves as born-again Christians. So that election was no longer a choice between the lesser of two evils. It became a matter of choosing between the least of three sinners. So I wrote one piece called More Born Again Than Thou. The producer said no, that it was not appropriate for HBO. And then Reagan made a campaign promise that he would take a senility test if the proper authorities concluded that he had become senile. And indeed, as if to prove his senility, he promised that, if elected, he would end the inheritance tax for rich and poor alike. You know, it's really bizarre when you examine what they say. And then I wrote a sketch about the Senility Liberation Front, and that, of course, was also eliminated from the show. So it is just very strange how all of these candidates on the Republicans seem to want to have the church laws, their faith, become laws for other people who don't have the same faith as they do. And you have characters like Ben Carson, who doesn't believe in evolution, and he believes that rape and incest are no reasons to terminate a pregnancy. They are liars. Chris Christie, not in one of the debates, but he has said that the constituents in his state, New Jersey, that they all don't like him. They don't want him to become president. And he says, it's a blatant lie. He says, well, they're just saying that because they want me to stay and continue governing New Jersey. And the media people don't question him about that. Carly Fiorina lied and said that 92% of the women they were not able to break the ceiling, and that's a totally false thing. Donald Trump, of course, is. Do you know that he got his first big awareness by the public when his book was published, The Art of the Deal? But the truth is that he bought 20,000 copies of it, and it became a bestseller. There was a great cartoon in the New Yorker, and it showed Donald Duck at a bar and just, you know, trying to get sympathy from the bartender, saying, "There was a time when I was the Donald." So, you know, it's all like a bizarre farce.
I think it's on all sides. I think we're surrounded by it, and I think that, like you said, we're still a ways out. I just wonder, is it going to be a dark horse? Is there going to be somebody who's going to finally step forward and watch the fallout and pick up the pieces that they know they need to carry it home and pull a rabbit out of a hat? Because certainly it's going to have to be a rabbit out of a hat, because there's nobody that's interesting to me. And I voted both. I voted Democratic and I voted Republican. So, and I voted independent, because, yes, I voted for Ross Perot. So there. I'm admitting it. I had to go to rehab for it, but I did it. Okay, so,
That's the thing, by the way, that rehab, a lot of people who get busted for pot, if they say that they were addicts, then they can get out and go to rehab. So they pretend that they're addicts when they're not. So the prison guards and the others who make money off of that and the private prisons, which is terrible because they base their profits on getting as many people in prison as possible. And so it's really such a hypocritical situation to have a new industry of rehabs for people who have to pretend that they're addicts. So there's so much. Lenny Bruce once summed it all up. He once said, "It's so corrupt, it's thrilling."
and on that note, Paul, we're going to let you go back to writing that book that's going to keep you another 3 years, which I'm thinking it won't take that long.
Okay, and if any of your listeners are interested in any of my books or the infamous Disneyland Memorial Orgy poster, they can get a look at it at my website, paulkrasner.com. It was a fast half hour, but it was good arguing with you two guys. It was.
You're always funny, and you always have your own unique way of looking at things, which is good because it's a different way. And I think that people right now need to consider all views. Absolutely.
Yeah, you know what? The most bizarre. You know, this girl in South Carolina who got the policemen in the school dragged her along.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
And so this was a surprise to me that the students there were protesting, but they weren't protesting that she was manhandled, but that they want to have the policeman back. So that was a surprise to me.
Again, there's two sides to every story. Yeah, there's two sides to every story.
Well,
we're seeing one side, and, you know, we have
exactly.
to look at both.
And
we definitely have
and
to look.
I substitute in high school. So I can tell you right now, there's a lot of kids that I would have wanted to take and fling against a wall. Okay, so
right.
I can't even start with that. That's another show, Paul. So once we do your psychological show that we need to do with you on why you don't care about winning, and have to pretend it's okay, certainly always entertaining, always different, and really appreciated that you came back on to share your views with us.
Okay, it was fun. Thank you.
Thanks, Paul.
Take care. Keep us posted on the book.
Okay.
Yes.
Have fun.
Okay.
Hey, we'll have you back after the election to do a post-mortem.
All right. I'll be running for president and then.
Yeah. That's great.
Take care, Paul.
Yeah. Funny. He is funny.
Oh, my gosh.
Well,
oh,
we're winding down already. I mean,
we are.
And we got so much. And you know what?
Rockers on Broadway. Let's talk about that.
Rockers on Broadway. Monday on the 9th, anybody who's in New York, they can buy tickets. It's to raise money to help the people in the arts, and it's a good cause. And they're honoring me with an Ambassador of Rock Award, which I'm thrilled. And it's a theme is 80s Rewind, and we got Deborah Gibson, who's going to be there as well. So
that's
she's a real
so
pop
cool.
80s. And then we have, let's see, what else do we have? I mean, there's, in my head, Lionel. Anybody who this humorous, he's so great. And that's going to be on the 7th at the Cutting Room. I'm going to that.
He's another, like, Paul Krasner type where he's going
to
tell you like it is. Like,
on.
He sees it. Yeah.
Oh,
he
wants
to
come on.
Yeah.
Oh,
hey, we're running out of time, Chick.
Yeah.
We got to fly.
All right,
Rockers
bid.
On Broadway,
Goodbye.
November
yeah.
9th, a well-deserved award, long time coming for you. Kudos to you, my darling.
Thank you.
And
Bye.
That was May Pang, and I'm Cynthia Nielsen, and you've been listening to Dinner Specials on Blog Talk Radio. Our thanks to Paul Krasner. Everybody have a wonderful week. Take care.